Welcome to Freelance Gems, a podcast designed to help you build a more stress-free, service-based business. On this show, I'll be sharing what I've learned as a web designer and founder of my own brand, Opal Templates, as well as interviewing and learning from the best in the industry. So if you're ready to upgrade from regular freelancing to building a brand on your terms, this is the show for you. Before we start this week's episode, I want to let you know that I am giving away one free mini website audit each week to whoever leaves a review on the Freelance Gems podcast on the Apple Podcast platform. I'm doing this because I know reviews are really easy to forget about, but they are absolutely huge, especially on Apple Podcasts, for helping the show grow and in turn helping more freelancers build stress-free service-based brands. So if you're interested and you want to help out the show while getting some feedback on your website, just leave a review on the show on Apple Podcasts, and I'll link to where you can do that below in the show notes. And if your review is chosen, it'll get featured either on the episode that week if we're in the middle of an active season, or just on Instagram, and then you'll just need to DM me to let me know that it was your review. Then you'll send over your URL, and you'll receive your mini website audit packed with tips for your site accessibility, website strategy, and design choices in a 90-second reel, so you also get some cross-promotion for your brand on Opal Templates Instagram too. So if you're interested, please head over there and leave a review. It is super, super appreciated. But without further ado, let's get into the episode. So to start us off, would you mind telling us who you are and what you do to people that maybe aren't familiar with you and your work?
Yeah, so I'm Lyd. I'm originally from Madison, Wisconsin, but I live in London, and I'm an actor, writer, and an entertainment marketer. So to support my artistic work, I do marketing for like individual creatives, maybe people who work in the entertainment industry, but I also do marketing for like theaters, so theatrical production, indie film companies, even podcasts. So that's kind of what I get up to.
That's so cool. I love that you have such a strong niche. Like, I feel like there's so many people out there just like, I do marketing or I do social media marketing, but you're like, yeah. I know who my people are. I'm ready for it. I love that so much.
Yeah. It took time because I was like, I know I want to do marketing, but why for years it did not occur to me to do it in entertainment? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I guess I just thought for some reason, like, it was too specific. But I think when you learn to like tie in all of your interests, it just gets more and more easy to manage everything you do, you know?
I agree. I think that's the best kind of niche is like when you have been a part of it yourself, or at least like super interested in
yes.
it. I mean, that's why I started doing templates for freelancers, because I was like, I'm a freelancer. I know what it's like. You like, you know, all the things that suck about whatever it is. And like, that's like,
oh, 100%. Yeah, because then you know who you're serving better. You're like, I've been there, I get it, I'm also currently there. And it lends credibility to how you can help people, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of people, we're here to talk about relationship marketing today. And I'm so curious, first of all, if you can just explain what relationship marketing is to people that aren't familiar, and then how have you used it in your business? I'd love to know.
Yeah, so there's definitely a very technical definition, but my personal definition is really it's building relationships in your business for the long term. So it's not making a short-term ask out of somebody. It's veering away from the transactional and kind of that icky networking that I think it gets easy to get sucked into or feel like you're obligated to do, and more just connecting with people who you don't just want to work with, but share your values and kind of their mission. So for me, how I've been using it, you know, I use it in all aspects of my career. It's great for personal brands, in my opinion. So like, to give a very specific example, like in acting, producers are who are, you know, making and writing and kind of in control of the work you see, right? So like a TV show or a film. And it's one thing to connect with like the producer of Bridgerton, who's Shonda Rhimes, right? But if you want to get cast in Stranger Things, you're connecting with the wrong person. So it's more about being specific about who you're getting to know versus just getting to know people to get something out of it. It's like, are they creating work that resonates with me? Are they invested in things I'm also invested in? Like, do we share the same perspective on a lot of issues? And I think that's how you genuinely connect through relationship marketing versus just, oh, they have the budget, or, oh, they're in my niche and they're a big name, so I should connect with them. You know, it's more about the actual substance of what you have in common. And, you know, I'll be really transparent. Like, there are points in life and in your business where you're just going to be like, all right, I need to pay the rent, you know, and you have to make the short-term ask. And that's fine. Like, we all have been there and we'll all probably have to be there. But I think you balance it out with that longer-term relationship building, you know. And even when you do, you know, have those short-term asks that you have to make, like if you're in a position where you just have to kind of, you know, get someone on the books, just be transparent about it. You know, it's saying, hey, like, I really respect and enjoy your work. I love that you do XYZ in this industry. I do, you know, ABC. I'd love to get to know you over a coffee chat, but I also, you know, am looking to do this project this month, or, you know, bring on someone next month. And I wanted to see if you're interested. So you can balance out, you know, the long-term relationship building with those short-term asks if you need to, and still be respectful about it and show that you've actually done your research into who they are, and you're not just like, they have money and can pay for my thing, you know.
Yeah, that's nice to kind of have options for both short-term networking and long-term marketing, because that's something I feel like has kept me away from relationship marketing in the past, is being like, ugh, I just, like, I need clients now, or at least within the next month or so. And you don't want to force it. You don't want to be inauthentic, I think, is most important.
Yeah, you're totally right. It's having the option, because otherwise it can feel gross too if you're only making those short-term asks and you're like, you know, like, we are all in business, you know, it's a business, you have to make money, you're supporting yourself. But it's a way of making that ask while still showing that you care, because why would someone hire you if you don't care about their business? You know what I mean? Like, they're taking a risk on you. And I even in the past, I've done this. Admittedly, I've done this. I've, like, gone to big names in a niche and I've been like, all right, their blog hasn't been updated in a while. And you shoot them that email that's like, hey, I see your blog hasn't been updated in a while. Enter me. I just happen to write blogs. But I think a better way of doing it is saying, like, okay, I need X amount of clients in the next couple of months. What relationships can I start building now to get people on the books? Or even longer term retainer clients. And it's leading with them first. So, like, researching and saying, hey, you know, you're really huge in the, like, creator culture space. I work in that space a lot as well, and really appreciate that you've talked about, like, the discrepancies of venture capital funding for female and male entrepreneurs. Thank you for the work you're doing. I'd love to treat you to a virtual coffee. I happen to do XYZ, and I would just love to hear more about your work and your needs. You know, that's a way that makes it less about you and more about them, and it tends to feel better. And then you can build a longer term relationship. And if you have to, you know, I know we can't really treat people to coffee anymore as much since the panorama, but you can even send them, like, a virtual Starbucks gift card to their email and just be like, I'd like to treat you to a virtual coffee. And people will appreciate that, you know, because it's shown that you put in the extra work.
Wait, that's so cute. I love that. Have you actually done that before?
Yes, I have. It's a fun little hack. I think it's cute to do when you're, like, treating someone to a virtual coffee, or even, like, I'm experimenting with it this year, but, like, a virtual gift basket. So giving them, like, a little virtual Starbucks card and, like, a subscription of their choice, like, to Netflix or whatever they enjoy watching, since that's my niche, you know, that tends to be a good fit for people. So anything you could do to just kind of say, like, hey, here's a little treat, you know, thanks for spending your time with me.
I really like that, because I feel like these days, like, our time is, like, our most valuable resource. I mean, it always has, but there's more pressure on it than ever before. So to kind of come right off the bat respecting people's time and giving them something in return, I feel like it's got to work out better than just being like, hey, your blog sucks, I can fix it.
Right.
Especially, like, starting with an insult. I've never understood that.
I haven't either. Even when I did pitch, like, hey, I want to write for your blog, it was like, hey, I really like what you write about. I just see you're not writing, you know, as often do you need help? You know, I've never gotten the leading with like, well, I see your reels aren't getting a lot of views. Like, that's just icky to me. It's like, why would you want to work with someone who insulted you? It's definitely showing you care about their time. Because you're right, like, personal opinion, time is the one thing you can never get back. Like, even if you spend money, theoretically, you can get it back, but you can never get time back. So for me, like, I value my time. And so I just try to show other people that, like, even if it's 30 minutes, I know they have a lot going on and I value them enough to be like, hey, let's make this worth your time.
And so beyond the little virtual coffee chats, what are kind of different examples or methods of relationship marketing that have worked for you?
Yeah, I mean, I connect a lot with people on LinkedIn, but primarily still coffee chats. So I'll usually like email someone, I find their email through LinkedIn, or I'll find it through like a company website. And then I'll usually connect with them on LinkedIn first, just to get to hear what they're working on. Like, hey, I saw you're working at, you know, like this theater company or this production company, and you're in this role. I'd really like to hear about how you worked on this last project. Can we connect? And then from there, you can usually build up to a coffee chat before just asking for a coffee chat. Some people are totally fine with talking to you right away. But even beyond coffee chats, just like having even accountability partners where you're just like, hey, what are you working on this quarter? I'd love to hear from you. And they can shoot you something back. That's also a cool way to keep in touch with people. So it usually is just kind of that organic way of connecting one-on-one. I'm also not a big fan of groups though. Like, I'm pretty introverted. So that's why I prefer to kind of speak one-on-one like that with people. But you definitely can go old school and like go to industry events, not even that are networking focused, but just go and enjoy something that, you know, you and a group of other professionals have in common or like adjacent, right? So if I were a social media manager going to like a social media management and like graphic design convention, you can meet another freelancer who you could partner up with. So that's also a great way to do that if you're open to like meeting with groups of large people. It's just not so much my thing. You know, I prefer to like have one-on-one talks like this where it's like just us and it feels less overwhelming.
So as far as like in-person events, have you tried any of those? Or no, because of the panoramic?
You know, mostly because of the panoramic, no, but I'm getting back into like doing events and being open to events, like more so on the entertainment side. There are things like film festivals that are starting to open back up. I have some friends that are going to those. I'm open to going to those. For me, a lot of the time it's going to the theater and seeing a show. Because if you actually like engage with the work in the moment that someone's doing, and then you get to speak to them right after, it comes off as more genuine, right? You're not just saying like, oh, I saw you, you know, had an article published in X, and that doesn't even indicate you've read it. You're actually there and you're being held accountable to responding to the work, and you can talk to them about it. So that's a lot of what I like doing, is actually going and seeing shows or going to smaller festivals and getting to speak to the people who are actually involved. I think anytime you can, you know, whether it's like a presentation that somebody's giving in your niche or your industry and get to talk to them after, that's always, always a great way to go about it.
Okay. I like that. And then in that case, would you bring like business cards with you, or do you just keep it simple and just introduce yourself?
Yeah, I think it can go either way depending on like the formality of the event. You know, I usually like to have business cards just with me. I know some people do like digital business cards now with like a QR code, which I think is cool. And I definitely have to get on that. So I think I'm going to be transitioning to that. But I think if you have a business card just as a backup to say, hey, let's keep in touch, you know, it's not like feeling like you have to go and give out a certain amount or meet with a certain amount of people. Just when you connect with someone, just saying like, hey, I'd love to keep in touch. Here's X, here's Y. A lot of that also can be done on like LinkedIn. Instead of a business card, just saying like, hey, do you have LinkedIn? And if not, email is always a great way to keep in touch with people, because it's not like an algorithm where if you follow them, sometimes you won't see their stuff. You know, it keeps them top of mind and you can reach each other directly, you know, which I think is really helpful.
And do you find that LinkedIn is kind of the best place for networking in that way, because people are more like in the business mindset than for, say, like Instagram or something?
Yeah, I think it depends on niche too. Like when I'm talking to people who are more on the corporate side of things, which for me means like production companies or marketing agencies, that's usually where they're hanging out, right? And if I'm talking to actors or other creative people, they probably don't have a LinkedIn. It's a pretty insular community, so it's like getting specific about where they spend time, and that's part of like what you said is just knowing what the client wants because you have been where they are, you know? So a lot of actors will hang out on Instagram. A lot of casting directors hang out on Instagram, agents on Instagram, you know, some of them are on TikTok. So it really depends on who I'm talking to. Like, I feel like on the agency side and the corporate side, more B2B, it's great to be on LinkedIn. And then if you're talking with like creatives or individual professionals, I think you can keep it a little more casual, and it's totally fine to like hit people up in DMs. You know, it just kind of depends on like which part of the industry they're in.
Okay, yeah. And then if you were to like DM someone on Instagram, do you just kind of wait for like the right time? Like maybe they post something on your story that you can relate to, or like, I don't know, something like that, instead of just like hopping in there and being like, hey, I'm so and so, or do you just go straight for it?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think it depends on like, listen, if you're in a place where you're like, ooh, I think they would be a really cool client. So glad I came across their profile. I think it's totally okay to just go for it. Say like, hey, I just happened to find you because, you know, you were in my feed and I'm just like scrolling through and binging all your content. I would love to hear more about what you do. I do XYZ. Can we chat? You can definitely do that. But usually it's like when somebody posts something that resonates, I think that's a really good jumping off point because then you immediately have something to talk about. You know, like a lot of my long-term clients, particularly Latasha, who we've both worked with. But I was following her on Instagram and she just put up this story and she was like, hey, are there any script writers in my network? And I was like, hey, it's me, you know, but I had already talked to her before because I had already been following her and like DM'd her. And we had also, I had just joined like her networking group, you know? So that makes it a little more easy for someone to say, like, oh, she'd be a good script writer because you're not only looking for the ask, you're looking at what else you have in common before you make the ask or before the ask happens.
That's so true. That's literally how I did customer service work for her. Same thing. She posted about it on her story. And
Right.
then it's so much easier once you know someone. Like it's like 10 times, 100 times easier to kind of like move into that relationship, right? Because the trust is already there.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting, there's this statistic and it's floated around, but I don't see a specific source. So take this with a grain of salt. It says like 70% of jobs are filled by the hidden job market, which is basically knowing people before something's ever posted. I don't think it's personally that high, but I just think as freelancers too, right? It just goes to show, yes, it is what you know, because once you do know the person, it is who you know. But once you know them, you have to show you know what you're talking about. So I think it's getting to expand your network, you know, as authentically as possible while still keeping it kind of wide. You know, it's like marrying the depth and the width.
And so this would definitely apply to like if you're in the job market too, then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, personally, I was conflicted between do I want to go like full time as like a freelancer and a business person, or do I want a job? And a lot of it applies. You know, it's like building a personal brand is really big, and then making sure you're bringing that brand to people. And you can't really do that without connecting to them one on one. Like, sure, you can do like content marketing and inbound marketing is great. I'm not knocking it. But I think that building those long-term relationships can also give you referrals and keep you top of mind when something pops up. Like a lot of why I say it's a long game is like I have people I connect with and I'll have a coffee chat every like month or every 2 weeks with, and they'll refer me to someone else. So it's not like I'm looking for the short-term sale from them. They'll connect you to someone else who has a job, or who has, you know, a project they want you to work on. So it can be really helpful for job hunting too.
Yeah. And then when it comes to referrals, I guess more like freelance referrals, have you ever thought about making like a referral incentive for people, or do you find that you just don't need to if you have that relationship?
That's a good question. I mean, I thought about it because I've heard a lot about people doing it. And like, I am a business nerd. So I spend most of my time on YouTube, like listening to other entrepreneurs talk about referral programs and how they got their clients. But it's not something I personally do because it is really about building the relationship and the trust. And I think once you've created enough of a like, your business pals is how I see it, like your friends, but your professional friends instead of just this weird like networking kind of greasy feeling. Your friends are there to help you, you know, so like when you're looking for something, they're naturally going to think of you and you don't really have to add an incentive onto it. You know, not saying that you shouldn't. I think it's a really good idea. But for me, it's not been like a concern, you know, because I just connect with people and it's also such a specific niche and industry that they'll refer me to someone else because everybody has like 3 degrees of separation in like the entertainment business, which is wild.
I like that because I've tried like going straight in with like, for instance, referral partnerships, like trying to connect with copywriters and like brand designers for my web design services. And I think I just went a little too hard. I went straight in like, hey, do you want to do this with me? You'll get 20% of this and it'll break down like this and it'll happen like that. And I didn't get a single response and I don't blame anyone because I'd never talked to them before either. Yeah.
Right. I mean, honestly, I think it's good that you put yourself out there and you were like, hey, this is something you offer that's specific and I offer something that's specific. Let's team up. But yeah, I think it's definitely building the relationship with someone first. Like, there's this great, she's a brand designer. Her name's Sydney Machuda. You guys should all look her up. And I found her because she did like an Adobe takeover and like showed her design process. And I saw she was from Milwaukee and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. So I was like, hi, can we talk? And like, we just talked, you know, about business and freelancing and living in Wisconsin and life. And it's when you connect with other freelancers like that, that you can end up referring them to someone. Like if I ever have a client that's like, oh, also I need, you know, a brand makeover, I'll be like, hit up Sydney, you know? And we only talked once, but even then, when you have those deeper conversations, it doesn't take a lot to like connect with someone.
Yeah, that's definitely the right way to go about it. That was just one of my many business mistakes that I feel like make up so much of
we all make them.
But it's like, that's really the only way you learn.
Yes. I read so many books on business, entrepreneurship, freelancing, and they all have these different methods. And they may be successful for another person and work really great. But like, once it's your niche and your style and you, like, you have to try them to know, you know, because that's how you get data. Otherwise, you don't know, you can't pivot, you can't make changes. So you're 100%, 100% normal.
Thank you. Thank you for validating me. If someone doesn't want to end up like me, for instance, what kind of like foundational things do you think are good to have in place before you start doing relationship marketing? Like, for instance, should you like have your elevator pitch down or like at least a really clear idea of like your unique selling point or something? Like, should there be some sort of foundation so that when you do have these calls, you're not like miscommunicating what you actually do?
That's a really good question. I think it always helps to just have like those little snippets like elevator pitches, so you can be really clear about what you do and why you're talking to them. And then the conversation can just go naturally from there. That's usually how I approach it. And I think that anything you can do to be clear with your brand is really helpful. Like I've had a personal website for my acting and my writing work for years and years. And then I had my business website. And so if people want to peruse, like that's already in my email signature, you know, like if you get an email from me and you're like, okay, who is this girl? I want to learn more about her. There's someplace that's a central hub where you can check it out on your own time. That also helps people feel more like, again, it's their time and they can kind of do that on their own terms instead of you like showing up with, let's say, like a deck or a presentation, you know? I think it's giving them like those elevator pitches and kind of giving them the opportunity to look into your personal brand so they feel like they get to know you before you hop on and you have something to talk about.
Right. That makes sense. I like kind of giving people the option like that instead of like just word bombing yes. at them, like every single fact about your business.
Oh, I know.
You know, because that's why we have websites and stuff.
Right, right. And once you get good at an elevator pitch, it's like, okay, hey, I'm Lyd. I'm an actor, writer, and entertainment marketer. You know, I work with BIPOC productions and marginalized creatives to help them get sustainable visibility. Like, that's really short, to the point. It doesn't just have like what I do or what I offer. It also has like my mission is helping marginalized people who maybe don't get seen as much, you know? And once you kind of marry those three things, which I think is what you do, like what you offer and like your mission or your vision, it's much easier to dissect than word vomit. Cause I think sometimes the more we talk, the less clarity you give someone.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm so guilty of that. It's like my worst habit and I can feel myself doing it. And then I'm just like, no, it's happening again.
Me too. Like, I'm a writer. So like, I will write the most like long, just obnoxious emails. And I'm like, okay, so we have to cut half of this.
Yeah. No, the email writing, that's an art in itself.
It is. It's so hard. Like, copy and content writing, you know, I've been doing that for years now, but even now, like, I have scriptwriter lid on like one half of the brain and like copywriter lid on the other half of the brain. And copywriting is so quick and to the point. And when you're telling a story, you're like, I sit in front of the laptop, phone placed slightly above the lens, a yellowish light fills the room, you know, but like in an email, you're like, I'm filming. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I found one thing that helps me is like, creating little templates in Gmail. I just found out you could do that like 3 months ago. So now I'm like,
yes.
And then that helps me like keep it short.
Yes. I know they just introduced that a couple months ago, I think, because I use Streak actually, which is really helpful. And I recommend to everyone. It's like a free CRM you can use in your email. And it doesn't just have like tracking for who opens it. I use mostly Sales Handy for opens, but you can also add in like where in their sales pipeline they are. And so I actually use that for coffee chats, as I have like a base coffee chat template and like different stages. Like I sent them asking for a coffee chat. I met with them. I sent them a thank you. I sent them like, you know, a virtual gift basket, or I met with them again. So that can be really helpful, is like having the templates and then something to track where they're at. Because otherwise it gets really easy to like lose which stages of like client process you're currently in.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I was just gonna ask, do you keep track of them? And then that perfectly answered it. That's really smart, because I have something kind of similar like in Notion, where I'll just have like I've been like slowly phasing out like every other tool in my business with Notion as much as I can, but I have so many databases where it's like I have like the date that I like last talked to someone, and then like our status, like if we're just talking or if we scheduled something. Because for me, a lot of my relationship marketing is with like PR, like getting people on the podcast and getting on other people's podcasts. Yeah, which is kind of its own. There's a different art to that one, but keeping track of it is really helpful, because otherwise you kind of don't know like the output that you're having or like the progress you're making. You just feel like, am I just like randomly talking to people all day, or is like this going anywhere? Because not that it's not great to talk, but you know, like we said before, it is a business, so you want to make sure you're like moving the needle. But before we wrap up, I'm curious, what is one piece of advice you give to anyone looking to try out relationship marketing?
I think be specific is number one. Be really clear about who you're targeting, and don't just mass send LinkedIn connection requests for a bunch of people in your niche, or try to connect with everyone who works at a certain company. Just get really specific about who you think you'd enjoy working with. And also remember that you won't truly know that until you have the conversation. So don't put so much pressure on it. Like, be honest about, would you even want to work with them? You know, like personally, I haven't really had nightmare freelance clients, but when I think about a job I took, the gut feeling was there, like, ooh, I don't think this is a person who is a good listener, or I maybe wouldn't want to work with them, but I still took it. And it's meeting with people to see if you get the gut feeling of like green light or red flag. So just be specific and then get to know them, so you don't feel like you're putting pressure on like making a sale or getting a job super fast.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's really helpful, because you have to actually like the person too.
Yes.
That's kind of like the whole point. So like, if you're working with someone on a freelance basis, you're going to be talking to them a lot, whether it's on email or meetings. So you better hope you like them, because that'll just make things like 10 times easier.
Oh, but absolutely.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Thank you.
Where can everyone connect with you after listening to this episode?
Yeah, so I am Lydia Renee Darling on all the things. So you can find me at LydiaReneeDarling.com. If you want to check out my work as an actor writer, on Instagram, I'm Lydia Renee Darling. On TikTok, I'm Lydia Renee Darling. But if you'd like some more in-depth kind of marketing tips, if you're a creative professional, a freelancer, I'm going to be posting on YouTube some deep dives at Lydia Renee Darling. That's Lydia-Renee Darling. And I'm also at ohmygoshcreative.co. If you want to check out our services, or if you just want to read a couple of blog posts on leveling up your marketing as, you know, a creative, as a freelancer, you can check that out too.